Well, amen. What a blessing that special was, and I trust that ministered to your heart as it did mine. If you have your Bibles here tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 5. Matthew in chapter 5. Sunday nights, some time ago, we started teaching on the teachings of Christ. Preaching and teaching on the teachings of Christ. And it's a study through the Gospels and just the things that Jesus Christ taught and that are recorded for us to learn. Right now, we're in chapter 5, where we find the Beatitudes. And I believe that the Sermon on the Mount is a blueprint for Christianity. And the attitude that we ought to have in dealing with life and everything about life is established here in these Beatitudes that the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching his apostles. He was discipling his apostles. And so this is the mindset of New Testament Christianity. And it's something that all of us need to learn as well. So go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading verse 1 to verse 7, because verse 7 is where we're at in our study here on the Beatitudes and the teachings of Christ. The Bible says in verse 1, "And seeing the multitudes, he, Jesus, went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples," this would be the 12 apostles, "came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And then tonight, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight and thank you for what we've already just experienced in being in church tonight and viewing the services from all around. Thank you for the message of song, congregational singing. But now, Father, as we've opened up your holy word, I just pray that you would help us to focus on what you have for us to receive from the preaching of this passage of scripture. I pray once again, God, that you would anoint and bless the preaching of thy word. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst for righteousness. We studied that last Sunday night, and what a blessing it was to realize that God is a rewarder of all them that diligently seek him. And when you're seeking God and you're seeking his righteousness, if you're seeking righteousness, you're seeking after God. And if we will seek it as we seek food when we're hungry, and as we seek it as we seek after water when we're thirsty, and we have such a hunger that we have to have it. It's just such a hunger for food that you got to have something to eat. You can't do anything else. You focus on that. The same way with thirsting. If we will seek after God's righteousness that way, what a blessing it is to know that we can have it. If you really want God, you can have God. If you want to have a relationship with Almighty Creator God, you can have that because God's established it so that we can have it. He's done his part for us to have it. All we have to do is have a hunger for it, a desire for it. You want to live right, then you can have that if you desire that. And that's what he says, that the blessing of that is, "For they shall be filled." Your hunger is gone. I mean, you're filling it. When you're eating and you're seeking that food, what a blessing it is when we're able to be hungry and then satisfied after finding the food that fills our belly. Be thirsty and satisfied once we find the water that we have need of. And that's the same way. As we seek after God and his righteousness, and we hunger and thirst after, we can have it. And we will be filled with it. And what a blessing that was. So that was last week. Tonight, we're looking at blessed are the merciful. Merciful. Someone who is full of mercy. That would describe somebody that is merciful, someone who is filled with mercy. Mercy is the withholding of deserved punishment. We find in the book of Exodus, and if you will, go ahead and look there with me. In the book of Exodus in chapter 34, as God was revealing himself to Moses, he wanted Moses to understand some things about who God was and is. And so in Exodus in chapter 34, let me get over there myself, and we're looking at verse 5 here, Exodus chapter 34 and verse 5, the Bible says, and this is God revealing some things to Moses. He says, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. And then verse 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. But then also look at here. And that will by no means clear the guilty. Will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. So we find here what God is revealing to Moses is what God is also revealing to us and what Jesus Christ is proclaiming as well, and that God is full of mercy. God is full of grace. But God is also full of judgment. Mercy is not to be misunderstood as being tolerant of evil. God has never been, nor God will ever be, tolerant of evil. Mercy is not shown to allow people to get by with doing wrong. That's not what Jesus is teaching in teaching to show mercy. Blessed are the merciful. You don't show mercy expecting that person to keep doing wrong. That's not what he tells us to do. We show mercy because we have a desire to give that person an opportunity to change and do right. That's being merciful. Biblical understanding of merciful is someone who has a desire for another to change. That's God. Almighty God seen humanity and he seen the sin nature of man and he desired man to have a desire to have him, to have a hunger and thirst for him, to have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He would seek, the whole world is lost, and he would seek to give them an opportunity to change. An opportunity to confess their sin. An opportunity to be reconciled to an almighty God. It was never forced and never will be. But it is given an opportunity for someone to change. And I believe these Beatitudes are listed in the order by which they need to come. If the person has a hunger and a thirst for God, a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, then God will give that individual, through his mercy, that opportunity to have that, to have a relationship with God, to have a relationship to do right, to have another opportunity to change. Mercy and grace are closely related as we study the Word of God. Grace is what God gives that we do not deserve. Unmerited favor. We do not deserve the grace of God, but God gives it. Unmerited favor. And then mercy is what God withholds that we do deserve. Amen. We deserve judgment. We deserve to die and go to a devil's hell because we are sinners. But God in His mercy withholds deserved punishment. And so we find here in the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ in discipling the apostles, and we have it here for a blueprint for New Testament Christianity, God says, blessed are they that follow after Christ-likeness and show mercy. Blessed are the merciful, because it's being Christ-like. Being merciful is expected by God for all believers. No exemptions. Matthew chapter 18. Jesus is teaching the Apostle Peter, and we'll be studying this as we're studying the life of Peter on Wednesday nights. Peter wants to know how often that he was supposed to forgive. And Jesus told him 70 times 7, but in reality, he's telling him there's no limit to it. And then he connects it with this idea of showing mercy. Forgiveness is showing mercy. Not that they deserve it. That's not why we do it. We have a desire to give people another chance. We have a desire to give people opportunities who would want to serve, who would want to have a relationship with God, who would want to do right. They're seeking something. And so we find here, then he gives us this illustration in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 23. He says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven, the ways of God. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Just know that that was a fortune. That was a lot of money. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. That was law. That was what he deserved. That was abiding by the laws of the land at that time. That's exactly what he could have expected of this man. It's what he would have had to have done. He's to be not to pay, his Lord command him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, for payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. See, compassion is what drives mercy. To have an opportunity for someone, to give someone to change. And he loosed him and forgave him the debt. Not that there was not a cost to forgiving that. For God to show mercy on us, it cost his only begotten son. For this king to be able to show mercy on this man, it cost him that fortune that he owed. He just wiped the debt clean. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Did he owe him? He did. Should he be made to pay? He should. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, if you will, give me another chance. I want to pay you. I want to do right. He fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not. Not living by the example of Christ. Not living the way that God would have him to live. Not doing what God would have him to do. And he would not. But he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desired me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Mercy rebuked. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts. Now I love that. From your hearts, forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. This beatitude, as we have been shown mercy, we're to show mercy. The attitude of being thankful to God for the second chance that he's given us. To be thankful to God for what he has forgiven us and restored us in fellowship with God the Father. What we have been forgiven of, to be thankful to God for what he has done for us, and to turn around and have that very same compassion for others. It's expected. Yeah. And not just to say it with our lips. We must mean it from the heart. Did you get a hold of that? He says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. From their hearts. Can I tell you, we must never lose sight of the importance of being merciful, of forgiving. Proverbs chapter 3. Look there with me. Proverbs in chapter 3. In Proverbs in chapter 3, if you look in verse 3 and 4. The Bible says, let not mercy and truth. Now I love this, because in this book of wisdom, it places mercy right alongside of the importance of truth. We all know how important truth is. And he's placing mercy right alongside of truth. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Don't lose sight of that. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Wow. To forgive and to live according to God's truths are to be considered every day of our lives. It's that important. I don't think we'd have anybody say here tonight that there is not. I understand it's important to understand the Word of God and to live by the Word of God, to understand the truth of the Word of God and apply it on a regular daily basis. And I think that we would be apt to want to do that and do a lot to be able to live according to the truths of God's Word. But at the same time, we harbor bitterness toward other people and a lack of forgiveness, and we're not showing mercy. You get that mentality, no, preacher, somebody does me wrong, I'm done with them. Somebody does me wrong, that's it. I'll never trust them again. I'll never give them opportunity again. I'm just going to write them off. That's over. That's not what God expects from us. That's not the mentality of God. Or we would all be on our way to a devil's hell. Yeah. That mentality of I don't forgive, nor do I forget, I get even. And you laugh at that sometimes, but what a miserable way to think. What a miserable way to live your life. And Jesus has come to set us free. He has come to give us truth and direction so that we might have the blessings of God. We might have a peace that's associated with mercy and forgiveness and truth. How we need to bind it around our necks. How we need to face it and look at it every day. If there is anyone that you have on your mind right now that you say, I'll never forgive, listen to me. Satan has got a grasp on your mind, and he will hinder you as long as you have that unforgiving spirit. I think we need to fall back and understand what Christ has done for us. A desire for us to have an opportunity to be reconciled to a Heavenly Father, to have a fellowship with Him, to restore a relationship with God, and the price He paid to be able to show us mercy. Yeah. The reward. The reward, I love this because in each one of the Beatitudes, if you go back there with me, Matthew chapter 5, we find that he tells us this is the attitude that we need to have. This is what's expected of Christianity. And then it gives us that reward of doing that. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, they shall obtain mercy. It's not talking about salvation, because salvation is a gift. You can't earn salvation. No matter how merciful you have been in your life, no matter how you apply these biblical principles and these beatitudes to your life, that is not salvation. That's never going to gain you salvation. But it can gain you, they shall obtain mercy. So what's he revealing here? It's the blessing of knowing that I am saved and my sins have been forgiven by God. Because I'm reminded of that every time I show mercy. The motivation for us to forgive, the motivation for us to show mercy is looking back to what Christ has done for us. So the more opportunity you have to show mercy, the more opportunity we have to forgive, the more we have opportunity to keep it around our necks and we keep focused on it and realizing that I have received the mercy of God. I have received the forgiveness of God. And he's cast all my sin as far as the east is to the west, never to be brought back to my account. And the joy of understanding that no matter what the past, no matter what I've done, If I've found forgiveness in Christ, that's past. And I have a new beginning. God has given me opportunities, a second chance, a third chance, and for some, a fourth and a fifth, maybe. Because his mercies are new every day. What a blessing. The blessing of knowing that. Psalms, and only got a few more. Let me just read a few passages here that will bring this to light. The Psalm in chapter 37. And write these down and go back and read them. They're a blessing. But this is they shall obtain mercy. This is the benefits. This is what we get. This is reward of being merciful. Psalms 37, verse 21. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. When you're following God's plan and commandments and his ways, he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous. The righteous are those that are seeking what's right from God and God's will for our lives, such as showing mercy. I have been young and now I'm old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Because it's the blessings of God to those who have shown mercy. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Psalms 86, look over there with me. In Psalms 86 and verse 5. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul. This morning we preached on the need to be preserved blameless in spirit, soul, and body. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. He's established and he's looking to live for God. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. And in doing that, he says, be merciful unto me. O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. For unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. Can I tell you, when you just automatically focus on what God's done for us, and we're able to show that very same mercy and forgiveness, and have a desire in showing that for an individual not to continue on in their sin. That's not why you show mercy. You have expectations of that individual taking advantage of the mercy that is shown and letting it change their lives. Trusting that it will change their lives as they move forward. One more. Proverbs chapter 11. Verse 17. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul. If we can get grasp this, as we look to show mercy, as we look to live by these Beatitudes, understanding God's blessings upon those that are merciful, those who have a desire to help others to change and having a part in that. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel or will not forgive or will not show mercy troubleth his own flesh. Wow. That's what God says about it. That's the truth from the scriptures. To be able to forgive and find joy. Because I realize the only way I'm able to do that is to look to the one who showed me mercy. Amen. And when I think about what Jesus has done for me in showing mercy, it brings joy. The illustration that Jesus used, when that man thought about what that king had done for him, it would have brought him joy. But instead, he put it behind him, never gave thanks, and didn't use that as a motivation to show mercy to others. You turn away from bitterness when you show mercy. When you show mercy, you find joy. A failure to show mercy, you trouble your own soul. We rejoice over obtaining mercy that leads to a joy in being able to show mercy. Amen. Amen. What a blessing as we understand the Beatitudes, a blueprint for New Testament Christianity. If I could have every head bowed tonight. Every eye closed. You have something that you're holding on to. Got to get rid of it. It's just not how we're to live our lives. We're troubling our own souls. Let's remember what Christ has done for us and go out and do likewise. Share that same mentality of having a desire for another to change as Christ showed us. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Father, we bow before you and love you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray, God, that we would continue to learn these Beatitudes and what your expectations are for New Testament Christianity. And, Father, be able to make them part of our lives. Just yield to the Spirit of God that would lead us to do this. I pray tonight, God, that you would bless in every decision that needs to be made. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.